Welcome to Mental Health Insights. My name is Craig Faust, and I am going to talk to you today about some common mistakes that I see people make when they're trying to work on the connection in their relationship. This is a topic that I have given quite a bit of thought to since most of the people that I work with are couples. This is an area that I specialize in, and these are some patterns that I've just seen over time as different couples have come into my office at all different places, whether or not they're on the brink of divorce or whether or not they're coming to me just to make sure that they're developing a strong marriage early on. So in that vein, these are three mistakes that I've worked on condensing and simplifying, and I will give examples to and talk a little more about them. So the first one that I think is probably actually one of the most glaring is that whenever I'm working with a couple, I often notice that you have one person that assumes that their partner knows something that they have not specifically told them. Or they would assume that their partner can kind of deduce what they're thinking or can deduce their meaning behind something. So I want to tell you right now that it doesn't matter what you do and it doesn't matter how you do something. If you don't tell your partner that you love them and that you care about them, if you don't tell them that they're important to you, that message is not going to make it to them. They will not feel the love that you have for them. They will not feel that strong sense of connection or that desire to be close to them that you may assume that they should feel. This is something that I see very often where I'll talk to somebody and I'll be like, oh, okay, is that something that you've actually shared with your spouse? Well, no, but it's something that they know, right? And it could be something even as simple as, hey, I noticed that right now while we're talking about this, it looks like it's really hard. Does your spouse know how hard this is? And they're like, oh yeah, surely they do. And it's guaranteed, it would be like something you'd see out of a sitcom that they're like, no, that they totally know and understand how hard this is for me. And the spouse is over there shaking their head. No, they didn't know this. This is something that they have been unaware of. And this happens for a variety of reasons, right? One of the reasons is that it's hard for us to talk about things that are maybe uncomfortable, or it's hard for us to talk about things that maybe would start a fight or could be controversial, right? If you're in a relationship and some of the things that you've noticed is that whenever you guys have conversations about the relationship, or you have conversations about kind of where you guys are at or where you're heading in your relationship, that things can get dicey sometimes, or that you guys may be able to get into, you might get into a fight. If that's the case, you may not necessarily communicate or share all the things that are going on with you, which is hard because that means that your partner has to guess. And I want to make that clear. This goes for anybody, whether or not you're a talker in your relationship or not a talker, is that if you're not saying what you're meaning and you're not actually saying the words, then you are allowing your spouse to try to guess at what you are feeling. You're allowing them to guess at the meaning behind things. And that's something that we don't want to do, because if they're guessing and they're thinking about it, that means they have the opportunity to get it wrong, right? I have a lot of times whenever couples, by the time they see me, things can get pretty intense in the relationship. And you can have couples that have been married for years and years. And one of the messages that you might get from your spouse is, I'm not really sure if they care about me. You know, they spend more time doing other things. They barely say hi to me whenever I get home. You know, they don't tell me that they love me all the time. They don't seem like they're excited to see me. We don't go on date nights. We don't really have a lot of sex, right? There's all kinds of different things that can lead a person to getting that message from their significant other that they may not really care about me. And a lot of times the person, once they even hear that, they're like, wait, you get that message that I don't care about you, but look at what I do. I do this and this and that. The thing is, they don't expressly tell them that they care. They don't expressly communicate it. Don't allow it to go to, you know, don't allow your spouse, don't allow your significant other, don't allow your partner to assume something. Directly tell them. Tell them if it's hard for you to talk about things. Tell them if it feels like you're struggling in your relationship. Tell them if it feels like I want to be closer to you. Tell them if it's like it's hard for me to talk, but I so badly want to talk. It is so hard for me to want to say something and to be scared that things are going to go on. If you do not speak it to them, then they will make up a story on their own, and that story will not always go in your favor. Right? That this one is probably one of the most common mistakes. And I can't tell you how many times, like I said, I'm sitting there talking to a couple and I'll be like, hey, did you share this with your spouse at any point? Is there something that they know? And after a while working with me, they usually start to laugh and they're like, no, but I'm guessing that you're going to have me share it now. And yes, I am. Turn and share that with them, because that is so important. And that is so, not only is it important, but it's such an easy thing that we can get used to just assuming that our partner knows other things. That it's really dangerous pitfall that we can go into. It's a really dangerous mistake that we can make that can end up compounding a lot of challenges and a lot of issues that we have in our relationship. So like I said, mistake number one is assuming that your significant other knows something that you haven't explicitly told them. Do not assume that your partner knows something that you haven't actually told them. All right. So the second mistake that I see a lot, and this is something that is usually very surprising to a lot of people, is whenever people are in my office, I really try my best to keep track of where their eyes are at. And I practice a specific type of therapy that I have couples turn and share things with each other, because if they can turn and share things with each other and things can go right in my office, then they're likely to go right outside the office, right? And we need to, you know, in my opinion, part of my job is to help them to be able to communicate better. And if they can communicate better in my office, then and they're learning how to communicate better, then that's going to be easier for them to carry over rather than me giving them a list of things or skills to try and then, all right, go ahead and talk about this. And then it fails and I'm not there to help make sure that it goes right. So one of the things that I notice is where people's eyes are located or where it is that they're looking. And there's often where I'll have a couple, one person in the couple turn to share something, right? And it's usually something that they have not shared, right? So going back to that first mistake, it's usually something that they have not shared, or if they have shared it, maybe it hasn't been in a great way, but we'll get to that. So I'll have them share something and I'll notice that they only make eye contact with their spouse half the time or 30% of the time or the entire time that they're talking, they're actually looking over their spouse's head or they're actually looking at the wall next to them or they're looking at, you know, their ear or something or they're looking at the floor. So that they are not even making eye contact the entire time with someone. And a lot of times whenever couples get to me, they're trying to create an emotional connection. They're trying to boost their relationship and their feelings of being connected and in love with each other. And I'm telling you right now that it doesn't matter what you share. The more eye contact that you make with somebody, the more emotional it's going to be. If I'm talking to my wife about taking out the trash and I'm making more eye contact, that's more emotional than I could be talking about my fears of losing her if I'm not making eye contact with her at all. So why is this? It's because whenever we're making eye contact with somebody, we're letting them know that they have our full attention. But not only that, you hear that old saying, the eyes are the windows to the soul. And there's a lot of truth to that. Because when we maintain eye contact with somebody, it's easier for them to tell that we are being completely honest, completely authentic, completely forthcoming with them, with whatever it is that we're saying. So not only will we maybe be listening and they know that we're paying attention because we're making direct eye contact, but if we're speaking and we're making direct eye contact with them, it automatically helps us elicit more emotion about what it is that we're saying. And usually people like divert eye contact because it's harder. It is harder to make and maintain eye contact, especially if you're talking about something hard. Could you imagine if you go to your spouse and you talk to them about this distance that you're feeling in this relationship and how you feel this tension in your chest, and you just become afraid that you're going to lose them, or they're going to lose interest in you, or maybe they don't even love you anymore. Could you imagine talking with this about them and maintaining eye contact with them during this? It's risky and it's hard. So people usually divert eye contact. However, diverting eye contact is one of the worst things you could do, because if you divert eye contact, not only is it harder for the other person to read you, and if it's hard for them to read you, then they fill in the lines. But if you divert eye contact, it's much easier for you to stay out of an emotional place, right? If I go to my wife and I talk to her about how afraid I am that maybe she doesn't love me anymore, and how whenever I'm afraid that she doesn't love me anymore, I actually end up getting more and more distant because I'm like preparing myself for her to leave me. If I'm talking to her about something that's maybe even intense like that, right? And I'm not making eye contact with her, I'm more likely to sound very logical, very rational, right? Not very emotional at all, because I'm not looking at her in the eyes. But there's another thing that happens. If I'm not looking at her in the eyes whenever I'm trying to deliver something that's kind of heartfelt with me, something that's emotional with me, and I'm not looking at her in the eyes, I can't actually tell how she's responding. So going back to some of the couples work that I do, a lot of times when I have couples share these things with each other, these hard things that they may not be used to sharing, whenever they're sharing them and they're not making eye contact, I'll ask them, I'll say, hey, how did that look like it land? How did it look like it landed on your partner whenever you shared that? How did it look like they took it? And 100% of the time, they'll look at them again after I said that because they didn't notice. And they didn't notice because they weren't making eye contact the whole time. But as they learn, and as they make more eye contact, not only are they able to be more emotional whenever they share things, but they can tell that their partner is listening. They can tell how it lands on their partner. Could you imagine, like, how scary it is to share something emotional with your partner and not know how they take it? That's how most of us are whenever we share things with someone else. We don't always know how they're going to take it. But if I share something that's really heartfelt and I'm making and maintaining eye contact, and because I'm doing that, it kind of ups the ante. It makes it more risky for me. It makes me more emotional. And it's easier for the other person to see that because we're making eye contact. But I'm also seeing how they're reacting. And I can see that it's landing okay and that they get it and that they understand and that they're there with me whenever I'm sharing this. That creates a different experience. That's different, right? That's the kind of emotional connection that people are looking for. And there is also research behind eye contact, right? We are more likely to be emotionally connected, feel more vulnerable, feel more connected to those that we maintain more eye contact with. Shoot, there's some exercises that some therapists will have couples do where they just literally look at each other and make eye contact. And after you do that for a minute or so, you feel a little bit closer to the other person. But it's hard to do because we're so used to diverting our eye contact. And that's something that we actually train ourselves to do a lot of times. But practice that, right? That's a common mistake, is that we don't make as much eye contact when we're conversing about something that's emotional or it's difficult for us to. And that mistake can cause all kinds of challenges, right? It can cause challenges in not knowing how the other person is taking the information that you're sharing with them. It causes issues with getting to an emotional place where you're actually sharing in an authentic way about something that's happening. And those mistakes can compound into a lot of other challenging things. So trying to maintain that eye contact does really well for you and your partner, right? So the last thing, the last mistake that I would say that I see most often in my office whenever couples are interested in getting closer and connecting in a different way is their ability to be vulnerable with one another. So vulnerability is a word that's become a lot more popular because of Brené Brown. She talks about it all the time, and she does a very good job presenting and speaking about it. She has books, she has podcasts, and everything. And vulnerability is pretty much what most therapists are always trying to help their clients get towards. And really, it's a lot of times what your significant other wants to see from you. And what vulnerability is, it's not necessarily getting you to cry. It's not getting you to spill your deepest, darkest secrets. It can be some of that. But vulnerability is being able to say something and someone seeing that it's impactful to you. That what it is you're saying matches with how they're experiencing you. And a lot of times vulnerability puts us in a risky situation. And usually that's how people can tell that someone's sharing something vulnerable, is how risky it feels for them. How much anxiety or fear does that produce? But there's a large spectrum of vulnerability. And sometimes I can have people in my office that they'll tell me, like, even me talking to them makes them feel scared that something could go wrong. And that even talking is actually a step towards being vulnerable for them. So vulnerability comes in a lot of different flavors. And the whole reason that I'm even talking about vulnerability right now is because, gosh, this is like tried and true. Anytime that I'm doing an assessment on a new couple, I will get one person in the couple that will say this saying to me. They will tell me that they wear their heart on their sleeves. And that their partner can, you know, they can read them like an open book because they had their heart on their sleeve. So whenever someone says that they wear their heart on their sleeve, one of the things that I start to become curious about is, one, what does that mean to them? But two, does that just simply mean that you talk to people openly about your emotions, but are you actually experiencing your emotion at the same time that you're talking about it? So let me elaborate a little bit on that. So let's say that let's rewind back to me sharing with my wife how I become afraid that I'm going to lose her. And whenever I do that, I actually start to distance myself because I prepare for the fact that she may leave me. If I am, if I wear my heart on my sleeves, then I may say, hey, I have actually shared this with her many times. And, give me a clip of what that looks like, right? Whenever you share that. And, I turn towards her and I tell, you know what? I am just so scared that you're going to leave me. That makes me go into the other room. It makes me stay away from you. It makes me stay down in my workshop or whatever it may be. It just drives me away from you because I get so afraid. Now, someone may hear that and they may say, like, hey, yeah, that's great. That's wearing your heart on your sleeve. But, and this may be harder to tell over this type of medium, I didn't really sound scared whenever I said that. In fact, sometimes, whenever we feel like we have our heart on our sleeves, we actually sound angry or we sound upset. Or we could even sound like very monotone, or we could sound just very logical and very rational or anything like that. Wearing your heart on your sleeve and communicating how you feel is not the same thing as showing how you feel. It's not the same thing as vulnerability. And vulnerability is actually showing how you feel and exposing yourself to those feelings whenever you're communicating with somebody. Whereas wearing your heart on your sleeves might be that you have the capability of talking about your emotions and your feelings, but you may talk about them in a way that could be incongruent with how you're actually experiencing them. Right? Like even right now, if I'm talking to you about my fear and, you know, like it comes up, it's a shaking in my body, you know, that sounds like even the tone I'm using right now, that's the same tone that I would use to talk about my 401k or whatever, right? That's the same thing that I would use to talk to somebody about my finances, or that I would use to talk to somebody about, you know, the next project that I'm going to do on my house. It's just very logical and dry. But if I wear my heart on my sleeve, I might be more prone to do that. Or I might get really angry, and you know, if I have a spouse that's really closed off and they don't really talk to me very much about what's going on, and I talk to them about like how angry that makes me that they do this, or how hard it is for me, and I'm doing it in a way that is attacking them, or it's aggressive or assertive towards them, that's not me wearing my heart on my sleeves. That's me, you know, that's me communicating, to be sure, right? That's what I'm doing, is communicating, but I'm doing it in a way that my partner may not necessarily be able to receive it. Now, I saved this mistake for last because not only is this the most complex one, but it's also going to be the hardest one for people to take in, because people that believe that they have their heart on their sleeve usually don't want to think, or they don't necessarily want to believe that that's not actually the case. Just because you can name a feeling that's going on doesn't necessarily mean you can communicate it in a vulnerable way. Or doesn't mean that you're communicating in the vulnerable way, it's actually landing and your partner can take it in and understand it. If I'm talking to my wife about this fear that I have and I'm blaming her for it, well, I get afraid because you don't show me that you love me enough, or you don't tell me that you love me enough, or you never do any of the things that I want. That's not me wearing my heart on my sleeve, right? That's not me being vulnerable. But for me, that may be wearing my heart on my sleeve. And I don't want to make it seem like that if you're a person that's used that term, that you wear your heart on your sleeve, that you know you can't, you're not ever vulnerable, or you're messing it up all the time, because that's not always the case, right? A lot of times, just whenever things are really intense or it's hard to talk about, we move away from our emotion a lot of times with that. And some of those other mistakes like I've talked about previously can start to happen. That's just the most common saying. It's the most common irony that comes up in a couples counseling or marriage counseling session. So going back to actually summing up this mistake, it is mistaking wearing your heart on your shoulder, or sorry, wearing your heart on your sleeves as vulnerability. Those two are not always the same. And being vulnerable is, like I said earlier, it's being able to expose yourself, and it's being able to say something and keeping the attention focused completely on you. Right? Keeping the attention completely focused on you. Unless you're really trying to understand like where someone else is coming from. But if you're trying to be vulnerable, if you're trying to show what's going on with you, keeping the focus completely on you. If I am talking to my wife about this fear of me losing her, going back to that example, and I say something like, I have this fear of losing you and I feel like you don't even care, right? I'm over here terrified that something's going on in a relationship and it seems like it doesn't really even matter to you. That's not talking about my fear. That's mentioning the fear and then putting the focus on her. That's actually putting the her in the defensive place. But we'll kind of talk more on that about that kind of stuff in later on episodes. But it is so easy for us to fall into a trap of feeling like that we may talk about our emotions, but we actually don't, right? In a lot of ways, you can tell that you're being vulnerable if something is extremely hard for you to talk about, or it feels like it's extremely risky. And a lot of times whenever that happens and we're vulnerable and we're risky, it's hard for us to make eye contact. It's hard for us to keep the focus on us. It's hard for us not to possibly blame or poke or attack the other person or be passive aggressive to them. It's hard for us to stay in a vulnerable place, right? Most of the time whenever I work with couples, people have to work on staying in a vulnerable place because it's hard, right? Because anytime that we're in a vulnerable place, we feel like we can get hurt very easily. Like I said, we're exposing ourselves, and it feels like our partner, someone that we love, who is also someone that could really hurt us, is, you know, it's really risky for us to stay in that vulnerable area. And that's why many people that end up coming to couples counseling usually actually realize that even if they felt like they wear their heart on their sleeves, they find out pretty quick that that's not actually the case. And because it's very difficult to stay in that place. It's very difficult for any of us to stay in that place. And, you know, even as I'm talking about this, I kind of think of another type of myth or mistake type thing is assuming that you'll always be able to be vulnerable with your partner. And that's just not the case, right? You can have a tough day at work. You can have a tough day in life just in general. And it may be harder for you to be vulnerable in those moments. And that's actually not what you need to create a successful relationship. Yes, you need to be able to be vulnerable with your significant other, but you don't have to be vulnerable 100% of the time. You have to be able to show that you can get there with them. And if that vulnerability is somehow blocked because it's something you haven't learned, which, AKA, that's the way it is for the majority of us. Most of us aren't really taught how to be vulnerable. So because we're not taught, we don't always know how to be vulnerable. Or if things are so troubled in the relationship that it's maybe feels a little more risky or a little more difficult to get there, all that stuff is completely normal. And that's all stuff that couples work through every day with different couples counselors or marriage counselors. So these mistakes are by no means me trying to point out things that can't be corrected or fixed or anything like that, but they are good things to be aware of. And those are things, good things to be aware of, whether or not you're in couples or marriage counseling or not, or whether or not you're just someone that's married or someone that's in a relationship. And this expands outside of being in an intimate relationship with somebody, in a romantic relationship rather. And it also goes into just straight up intimate relationships, whether or not that's friendships or, you know, relationships with your kids or, you know, your family or extended family or anything like that, that these types of things are still crucial to those types of relationships, right? Being able to make sure that you're making eye contact, not assuming that they know things that you haven't said to them before. Actually, even going to that, I think that there's something that's important is there are, you know, there's generations of people who have never heard their father say, "I love you," to them. And they're like, "Oh, well, I know that they do because of all the things that they've done." That's people giving lip service. If someone's never told you that they love you, even though you might kind of know in some way that they love you, if someone says it, it's completely different. It feels different and it becomes more impactful, right? And that's what I mean by that. And so these mistakes can also be corrected in just your everyday type of relationships to helping you create closer connections. So this was an episode, like I said, I've been thinking about for a while, and I am going to do more episodes on couples counseling and everything, and try to expand upon some things to help couples and help those of you that are married or that partners so that you guys can have better relationships. And this is kind of my, you know, my opening into that arena, so to speak. So I hope that you're able to enjoy. And of course, if you have any questions about, you know, these three mistakes that, you know, I've shared with you today, feel free to reach out to me. And I look forward to next time that I get to speak to you guys on this topic. And until that time, I hope that you are well, and I hope that you've had good holidays. I know that at the time of this recording, this is in January of 2021, and this is a very stressful time for a lot of people. And I just ask that you take care of yourself, and if you're able to, maybe take care of someone else as well, or show kindness to someone else. So until next time, I wish you well. Thank you for listening to our show. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and reliable information, and those that appear on the show are all licensed professionals in the area of mental health counseling. We are in no way rendering legal or medical advice, only information to help serve you better in making decisions in your life. If you need a professional, you should find one. Music you are listening to is called Lobby Time, and that is by Kevin MacLeod and licensed through Creative Commons.